The following program was taped in front of an audience of real live people.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm an anchor man among anchor boys. Bill Curtis, and here is your host at the Studebaker Theater at the Fine Arts Building in Chicago, Illinois. Filling in for Peter Sagal, it's Tom Papa.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, everybody. It's me, Tom Papa, filling in for Peter Sagal, who was last seen talking to reporters from the roof of his house. We have a great show for you today with special guest star of the Fantastic Four, Pedro Pascal. Because this, because this was the only show he hasn't starred in this year. You're up first, though. Give us a call to play our game. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Caroline from Atlanta, Georgia.
Nice to hear from you, Caroline. How is Atlanta, Georgia this summer?
Well, not as hot as it's been this past week, but very hot otherwise.
It sounds like you're delirious.
Yeah, probably. Dehydrated.
Caroline, let me introduce you to our panel. First up, a comedian bringing stand-up to the runway at his Paris Fashion Week Comedy Festival, September 29th to October 5th. Say bonjour to Brian Babylon.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Next, a comedian and host of the podcast Fake the Nation. You can also read her regular column, Hemming and Hawing, in the Progressive magazine, Nagin Farsad.
Hey there.
Hi, Nagin.
And a humorist whose Substack is Take Another Piece of My Heart Now. It's Roy Blunt Jr.
Yeah. It's good to be here amongst all you folks.
Welcome to the show, Caroline. You're going to play Who's Bill this time? Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize. Any voice from our show, you choose on your voicemail. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here's your first question.
We Democrats are fighting back. We're leaving.
That was Democratic Congressman James Tallarico as he fled what state to avoid a redistricting vote?
Texas.
That's right, Texas. This week, 50-some Democrats fled Texas, and not just for the normal reasons. Texas was about to vote to redraw voting maps to give Republicans more House seats, so to prevent the vote from happening, Democrats left the state. It's incredibly on brand that the one time Democrats show courage, it still involves running away. Are they all staying in one Airbnb? I can't wait to pitch my new reality show, The Opposite of Love Island. How does it work? Like, if they're just gone forever? Or, like, they have to come home at some point.
It's a two-week session, so they're not even taking a full French vacation. They're just doing
right.
a two-week session and then coming back,
and then
theoretically.
Go back. Oh, and then,
yeah.
and then the shop
and
will
also,
be closed.
The other fun thing about it is they're getting fined $500 a day that they don't show up to work. But the other fun thing about that is they only get paid $600 a month because I guess Texas is really broke or I don't know what is
well,
going
there,
on.
Or there might be some other way, for them to make money.
Yeah.
Other than getting paid.
Oh, are they going to other states so they can be strippers and just get some extra cash? How does that?
But no, I've seen them. That is an answer. No. All right, Caroline, your next quote is someone complaining about a new trend.
I'm hopped up on painkillers, I'm delirious, and they're like, hey, how'd you like your stay?
That was a patient talking about the fact that his ear surgeon like everyone else right now, is asking for a five-star what?
Yelp review?
Yes, a rating or a feedback. Exactly. Good job. Everyone from takeout joints to surgeons are asking you to rate the service you received as soon as you walk out the door. But I got to tell you, that door, 5 stars. According to the Washington Post, people across the country are experiencing customer feedback survey fatigue, which I'm tired just saying it. But everybody does want a review. Like if you stay in Airbnb, they're always begging you for a review. Do you review things?
Literally never.
Never.
The only time I review things when there's like a really cute mom and pop shop in my neighborhood and I worry about their like ongoing economic survival.
Right.
So I will throw in a review at wherever just to like in that sense. And I realize like I don't do the Uber reviews or the Lyft reviews. Mm-hmm. And so I might have a really low score and that might explain parts of my life.
I tend to look at reviews like if I'm in a new town and I'm looking for something to eat or a coffee shop. I'll look at the review real quick, and as much as I want to trust them, I do in the middle of it think, oh, this person, there's something wrong with them.
Oh, yeah, you can...
They're spending 3 paragraphs on the oat milk. Why am I listening to them? But if they give it 4 stars, I'll go.
But you can see a Karen in the words. You know what I'm saying? You can see a horrible person.
It is funny. You can tell when they're the problem.
You can tell when they're the
problem.
I don't want to get Karen into it, but reviews have not worked in my marriage. We tried it.
Do you guys have like an anonymous box in your bedroom or something?
That's too personal. I know who it is.
All right, Caroline, your last quote is from a Danish zoo spokesperson.
When keeping carnivores, it is necessary to provide them with meat.
That was someone nonchalantly asking that you donate your what to the zoo?
Organs?
What a good idea.
Wow.
Nice.
I really wish that was the answer. I really wish that was the answer. I'll give you a clue if you'd like one, Caroline.
Yes, please.
Here's your hint. Honey, where's Fluffy?
That's even worse. Your pets?
Yes, that's right, your pets.
But
she got it right, though. Stay with me, guys.
But not young pets.
A zoo in Denmark is asking people to donate pets as food for the zoo animals. Sure, it's a little dark, but you haven't lived until you've seen a Bengal tiger burp up a rhinestone dog collar.
Wait, this zoo is in Denmark?
Denmark, yeah.
Because don't they make Ozempic in Denmark? My idea for the zoo, and I'm sure they're listening, is that they put the animals on Ozempic and then they won't need to eat at all.
but then they get that weird face.
You get all palpatine.
Yeah, you do get Ozempic face. Yeah. That's right. You get Ozempic face.
Well, in response to criticism, a representative from the zoo said it gives the pet a, quote, quieter death than actually going to the slaughterhouse.
Oh.
Slaughterhouse. That's how Denmark euthanizes their pets?
What? Yeah, this is not adding up, Tom Papa.
I think Denmark's got some secrets.
If you've never seen a seal balance a puppy on his nose.
Yeah. Bill, how did Caroline do?
Caroline knows how to play the game. She did a perfect score.
Yes. Job.
Thanks for playing, Caroline. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow. Zoo tomorrow. Zoo tomorrow. Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow. We can stay all day.
Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Nagin, one couple had the wedding of their dreams, and to pay for it, they simply got a what?
They simply cashed out their Bitcoin.
No.
Can I get a
hint? Y'all give you a hint. And now it's the flower girl presented by 1-800-Flowers.
Oh, they got 1-800-Flowers to sponsor their wedding?
Yeah, they got a corporate sponsor. One lucky couple was able to secure Hellman's Mayonnaise as their wedding corporate sponsor. Just like every little girl's dream of having a wedding you can't leave out in the sun for too long. The Hellman's Corporation determined many of the terms of their wedding. Things like they had to do it in Vegas, it had to be recorded for promotional purposes, and this is true, the wedding had to be officiated by a life-size mayonnaise jar mascot.
Oh my God, that's real.
That's real. Wow. What ungodly religious organization ordained that freak?
I don't know. If that was an ordained minister in a mayonnaise outfit, you need to really think about your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are in a mayonnaise suit, you and Jesus ain't right at that moment.
Jesus put ketchup on everything.
Everything.
I can find that in Leviticus. No, that was wrong.
Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on air. Or check out the pin post on our Instagram page at Wait, Wait, NPR. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Tom. Hi, Wait, Waiters. My name is Andrew Cundiff, and I'm coming at you live from Fort Collins, Colorado.
Whoa.
Oh. Beautiful.
Hey.
Good for you.
I love it there. It's so sunny and nice. What do you do for fun in Colorado?
All the things, all the mountainous things.
Have you ever ridden a bear?
I tried.
You did try?
When I was little, but now he ran from me. So.
Well, I'm happy you're alive. It's nice to have you with us, Andrew. You're going to play our game in which you must try and tell truth from fiction. What's the topic, Bill?
Adam Driver in the news.
Actor Adam Driver has done it all, delighting everyone from Star Wars nerds to House of Gucci nerds. This week, he made the news for a surprising reason. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Pick the one who's telling the truth, and you'll win our prize, the waiter of your choice on your voicemail. First up, Nagin Farsad.
Adam Driver got his start on the Lena Dunham show Girls, where he played a brooding and unemployed yet somehow still desirable love interest. He's had a long career since those days, but it's the role of Adam on Girls that is being used as the main heartthrob on the new video game Dating Wars. This first-person dater game, available on the Nintendo Switch, is meant to appeal to young women, gamifying the ever-intense battle for the affection of the elusive man-child. The unattainable boyfriend at the final level of Dating Wars is Driver's character on Girls, which is to say he's tall and handsome, except for sometimes he's also weird-looking. He looks like he's never washed his hair, and it kind of feels like he doesn't live anywhere. His character lobs all kinds of hurdles your way. He'll love bomb you with romantic nights out, but only to completely ignore you for weeks. He'll leave a toothbrush at your apartment, but will never invite you to his. He'll even introduce you to his mom, but refer to you as a friend. But don't worry, Adam Driver is the hardest level. You get plenty of practice at earlier levels with characters like Aiden from Sex and the City, Mick Steamy from Grey's Anatomy, and Chuck Bass from Gossip Girl. See also literally any 20-something at the bar tonight.
Okay, that's a video game Adam Driver from Nagin Farsad. Your next creation of Adam comes from Brian Babylon.
How does the USDA save cows from being killed by savage gray wolves in Oregon, but in a humane way? All you need is a drone with loudspeakers to broadcast alarming sounds like fireworks or AC/DC's Thunderstruck, or people arguing. One recording is of a fight between Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver from the movie Marriage Story. Because nothing scares a wolf more than seeing two people fall out of love. The fight scene is the most emotionally volatile moment of the movie. Like when Scarlett screams, "I can't believe I've known you forever." And then Adam yells, "Every day I wake up with you, I wish you were dead." The wolves hear that and they're like, "Damn, this farm is depressing. Let's get out of here."
Great. That's Adam Driver scaring away wolves from Brian Babylon. And your last driver dispatch comes from Roy Blunt Jr.
What's up with Adam Driver? Why is he turning down so many juicy movie roles, like the remake of Lassie Finds Romance, in which Driver would have played a Doberman pincher? Well, brace yourselves. Adam Driver is taking a hiatus from acting altogether. Forsaking the Flickers? For what? For golf. "I've always loved hitting the links," Driver told CNN's Pigeen Willamette Fong, "and it's high time I get serious about my game." Not only will he be entering open tournaments, he will introduce his own line of golf wear. "Why stop with clothes?" asked Willamette Fong. "Why not design a signature set of clubs? For example, the Driver Driver." says Driver, "that's a thought."
Okay, Andrew. From Nagin Prasad, you've got a video game where Adam Driver in Girls is the ultimate bad boy to win over. From Brian Babylon, the government scaring away wolves using the famous argument scene from Adam Driver in Marriage Story. And from Roy Blunt Jr., the Adam Driver Driver. Mm-hmm. Which one is real?
I'm going to go with Brian with the wolf hazing drone.
And to find out the correct answer, we spoke to the reporter who broke the real story.
They played Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story, and the wolf ate them.
That was the Wall Street Journal's Jim Carlton talking about Adam Driver scaring the wolves. Congratulations, Andrew. You got it right.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Support public radio, everybody.
Yes, thank you so much. You earned a point for Brian, and you've won our prize, the voice of your choice, on your voicemail. Thank you for playing, Andrew.
Woohoo, thank you.
All right, take care. Enjoy Colorado. And now it's time for the game we call Not My Job. Pedro Pascal had been a working actor for years before becoming an overnight sensation playing Oberyn Martell on Game of Thrones. Since then, he starred in everything from The Mandalorian to The Fantastic Four to Your Dreams Every Night. And this year, he's up for an Emmy for his role as Joel in HBO's The Last of Us. Pedro Pascal, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So great to see you. It's really nice to meet you. I feel like we all feel like we know you because you're literally in every movie. How do you...
I know. I'm sorry about that.
No. You're making us all very happy. You started as an actor in New York mainly, right? You were a struggling actor in New York?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That was like the longest role of my life was struggling actor.
Wow. And you must have started getting parts there and you slowly, did you do like commercial work, that kind of stuff?
I mean, I couldn't get arrested, to be honest with you. I had like a little bit of a promising start with jobs that were in Los Angeles, actually. But as far as New York was concerned, it just was a rough go. I was a waiter, and I was really bad at it. But I still didn't have the skill to learn something else. And I did eventually learn how to wait tables. I became good at it, but boy, it took years.
What was the struggle in waiting tables for you? What was the hard part?
Just the logistical labor of meeting everyone's needs in the right manner. The act one, the water. Act two, the drink. Act three, upsell.
Yeah.
The whole everything, and making them feel attended to and respected and everything. And I desperately didn't want to be there.
I want to be honest with you. I've never understood the waiter's journey until that moment, Pedro. That was beautiful. Like, wow, I'm going to tip more every time. Like, I see what you're doing, man.
So at that time, what was scarier, the world in The Last of Us or your first apartment in New York?
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I thought my apartment was really cute.
Yeah.
And when I moved out to Brooklyn, the only place that I could afford was a tiny little place in Red Hook. And I remember taking a friend of mine to it years later while I still had the lease. And she looked like she was going to cry, knowing that I lived there for 12 years. Like, she just was dumbfounded. And it was hilarious. So I don't know, maybe to some people, my apartment in Red Hook, Brooklyn, but to me, definitely the post-apocalyptic fungal nightmare.
Yeah.
Although there was a lot of fungal nightmares in that apartment.
I was curious, for The Last of Us, which is so brilliant, but I know so many people, and Peter is who I'm filling in for today, he played The Last of Us on his PlayStation, the video game, and he was so moved. He talks to me about it like he's so moved by that game. It really hooked people in a profound way. Did you play that game before you start in the adaptation?
No, I tried. I really, really did try. I tried. And my nephew didn't have the patience, so he took the console from me. And I said, and I was just like, well, then you do it. I'm sorry. And so I just watched him play. It's a skill. It's such a thumb skill. I was like,
it is.
I was just like running in a corner and I couldn't get out of a corner. And you gotta like pick up the ladder and you gotta, all these things. I couldn't figure it out.
It's funny to think of you going through the script when you get the role and looking like, where's the corner scene?
Yeah, exactly. Very good where I'm like running in place.
You've been recognized by so many award committees. How did it feel to be named Grindr's 2024 Hottest Man of the Year?
You are lying to me.
You're not aware of this?
You're lying to me. I'm not. If that is the truth, then I need to go. Except it's 2025.
You're probably the buzzes weren't off.
Oh man.
All right.
That was my year and I didn't even know it.
All right, Pedro Pascal, we've asked you here to play a game we're calling
The Last of Us Weekly.
You star in HBO's The Last of Us, but what do you know about Us Weekly? The celebrity gossip magazine for folks who think People magazine is too literary. Answer 2 out of 3 questions right, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Bill, who is Pedro playing for?
John Biba of New Market, New Hampshire.
All right. All right, you ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
Okay, here's your first question. Us Weekly is one of the best-selling magazines in the world, but some issues sell better than others. According to a former employee, which of these is the kiss of death for an issue of Us Weekly? A, when the note from the editor at the beginning of the magazine starts with, "Listen, they can't all be winners." B, when the issue includes the rare "Stars, They're Just Like Us, Only Much, Much Better" column. Or C, when the magazine's cover has a picture of literally any man on it.
That's too many words. Let's do C.
C? The C. Answer is C. You're right. According to the employee, having a picture of a man on the cover pretty much guarantees that the magazine will undersell, which is crazy because who doesn't want to know about Kevin Jonas's skincare routine? Here's your next question. Slate called Us Weekly Celebrity Questionnaire 25 Things You Don't Know About Me the best magazine feature in all of media. As proof, they cited Cher's 2013 profile where she revealed what? A, that she's gone by just Cher for so long she's completely forgotten what her last name is. B, that all of her imaginary friends growing up were lumberjacks. Or C, that the original lyrics for If I Could Turn Back Time were about stopping the JFK assassination.
Oh my God. I mean, it's got to be B. Those were my friends.
You're right. It was B. Cher also revealed that she owns, quote, a large collection of elephants.
Real ones.
You can't have a small collection of elephants.
All right, here's your last question. Without a doubt, the most popular section in Us Weekly is Stars, They're Just Like Us, where the magazine posts pictures of celebrities doing everyday things with captions including which of these? A, they tie their own shoes. B, they eat Mexican food. Or C, they squint in the sun.
What, I'm allowed to get, like, help from the audience, right? Between A and C? What?
They said all.
All of them.
All of them, but they would literally say they eat Mexican food?
You're right. All of the above. But thankfully, they don't do all those things at the same time. Bill, how did Pedro Pascal do on our quiz?
Could he do anything better than be a winner? Pedro!
Pedro Pascal is starring in The Fantastic Four, and he's up for an Emmy for HBO's The Last of Us. Pedro Pascal, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. In just a minute, three limericks are all that stand between you and mild glory in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Okay, right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Brian.
Yes.
This week, the shapewear brand Skims made headlines when they introduced a revolutionary new garment, the shapewear for your what?
For your, like, chin and face.
Your face. Yeah. You're right.
Mm. Yeah.
Skims' new seamless sculpt face wrap features, quote, collagen yarns for ultra-soft jaw support and looks like a big bandage wrapped around your face. Mm. It also has Velcro fasteners and, quote, ear slits so you can hear people making fun of you.
Mm. Okay. That's so funny that this is my question. So I actually had a friend who got, like, three of these, and I tried it on.
What?
I ain't gonna say it's stupid, because I felt, my face felt 16 when I took it off for like 2 minutes. And I'm like, oh man, I feel really, really tight.
Are you supposed to like sleep in it?
You're supposed to sleep in it.
And then you wake up looking hot.
I didn't say that. I didn't say you.
Oh, you don't walk around town with it on?
Someone's going to do that.
Yeah.
Would you do it, Nagin?
I mean, yeah, I'll try, I mean, anything if it's going to keep me hot forever.
No one said forever.
Okay, but well,
how long does it last?
I'm going to be real with you. I don't think it does anything
noticeable,
but maybe it might keep your face slightly taut. Just, you know, just muscle memory energy.
Right.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I don't either.
Do you know what he's talking about?
You're looking at me like I've done it.
Well, you're so beautiful, you're doing something.
Yeah, he's getting lost in your eyes right now.
Nagin.
Yeah?
During a recent WNBA game, a baby stunned the crowd during the halftime show crawl race by doing what?
Oh, my God. I actually know this one. By, like, taking their first step.
Yes, exactly.
That was really cute.
10 babies lined up on one end of the court for the halftime crawling race before one baby stood up halfway through and won the race by walking to her mom. This was the baby's first steps, which is such an important moment, but also, that's cheating.
When I saw that, I feel that baby knew it could walk weeks before this.
Yeah,
and
it was like
saving.
Holding it.
It was holding guess what I'm going to do? Ga, ga, goo, goo.
Yeah,
and then
it was like, go ahead, Mom, sign me up for the crawl race.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about sports, but is it typical for there to be crawl races, or is this a WNBA thing that's coming into our lives where now we're including babies into halftime shows because it's a bunch of ladies on the court.
Yeah, I've never seen that for NBA. That's a good valid point, but still babies are cute. So
right.
Baby racing dates back to the 1940s, and it's not always about who finishes the race first. This is true. One time, a baby won for simply being better looking than the others.
Yeah.
So yes, having a baby is hard work, but at least it's not the 1940s where your baby loses for being mid.
Yeah.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank. But first, it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can see us most weeks here at the Studebaker Theater in Chicago. And you can see us on the road. We'll be at Tanglewood in Western Massachusetts on August 28th, in St. Louis on September 18th, and in Honolulu, Hawaii on October 9th and 10th. For tickets and information about all our live shows, go to nprpresents.org. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
This is Mel from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hi, Mel.
Hi.
How are things in Salt Lake City?
It's been good. It's been a bit hot, but I saw your guys' show last week in person, so that was great.
Wow.
Whoa. And then you got on the phone. It's almost like you know someone. Someone did some networking at the live show. Well, welcome to the show, Mel. Bill Curtis is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on 2 limericks, you are a winner. Here's your first limerick.
In my big white dress, loaded with lace, I'm just trying to eat with some grace. Do this at our wedding, a divorce we are getting. Don't you dare smash that cake in my
face.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Smashing cake into your new wife's face is the best way to say, I'm fun. I'm whimsical. I didn't know makeup takes an hour to do. According to The Cut, women are traumatized by memories of cake smashing. One woman recounts having to change into spare clothes after clawing fondant off of her face. Another woman realized afterwards, and this is true, quote, we are going to be together forever, and I'm not going to be happy. Roy, did you do that when you got married?
Which time? I know. Maybe that's why there were so many of them. I don't know.
Here's your next limerick.
I get up at an ungodly hour. A quick bite I just need to devour. So as I rinse my grime, I'll be saving some time. I eat breakfast while taking my...
shower.
Shower, that's right. Mm. This week, actor Jessica Biel revealed that she often eats breakfast in the shower in an interview that screams, "Yes, everything is going great with my husband, Justin Timberlake." Biel says she does it all, coffee, cereal, even yogurt or a slice of quiche.
It may not quiche.
It makes sense.
Come on.
I have some body scrubs that would go great on toast. There's certain foods like you're like, oh, maybe granola, I could see that. As soon as I said quiche, a couple of people in the audience threw up in their mouth.
Yeah. But even who wants to put a bunch of wet granola in their mouth?
Mm. Well, it's not wet.
I mean, like shower.
No, her setup is she has like a little counter like above the sink.
I mean, I get it.
And then she's like, whoop, whoop, whoop. And then she comes back and
shuts
up.
But there's still some drippings. Like there's
splash.
Drippings that happen.
Splash.
That sounds like a lot of wet crumbs.
Wet
That's
crumbs.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Who wants to have wet granola in their mouth?
I'm going to have to see her do it before I make a decision.
All right.
Here's your next limerick.
Car-crossed lovers aren't playing for yucks. Outdoor Shakespeare brings bang for your bucks. Emotions are bigger for backhoes and diggers. See, all of our actors are...
trucks.
Yes, that's right, trucks.
Oh.
In a new production of Romeo and Juliet, every character is played by a vehicle, including city buses, fire trucks, and an ambulance. Just the way Shakespeare envisioned.
This sounds like Shakespeare or something, right?
Yeah, it's really impressive. I've never honked an iambic pentameter. The show has actually been getting really amazing reviews. Critics said, quote, "I was expecting it to be silly, but it was actually really good. And it was really sweet and cute, especially the scene where the cars were, I assume, kissing." Bill, how did Mel do on our quiz?
Mel got them all right. She's walking away a winner today.
Good job, Mel. Thanks for playing.
All right, bye-bye.
Now, on to our final game. Lightning fill in the blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer is worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Roy and McGee in each have 2. Brian has 4.
All right, Roy, I'll choose you to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Wednesday, the Kremlin confirmed that blank would hold a meeting with U.S. officials next week.
Putin.
Right. On Thursday, Skydance closed their $8 billion acquisition of blank.
The White House.
Paramount. This week, a gunfight that broke out between two gangs in the Philippines ended when two of the rival members blanked.
Started crying.
Got married.
Oh.
On Monday, Skittles announced it would remove artificial blanks from its candies.
Skittles are going to remove artificial raisins.
Artificial colors.
Oh.
On Wednesday, Eddie Palmieri, jazz musician and the first Latin artist to win a blank, passed away at 88.
A Grammy.
Right. This week, a church in Pennsylvania that raffled off a new Corvette is under investigation following accusations that blank rigged the raffle.
The preacher.
Yes, the church pastor. St. Jude the Apostle Church raised over $500,000 for its charity car raffle, but now investigators are accusing the pastor of rigging the whole thing so that he could win the car.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Say what you will, there's no commandment that says thou shalt not do donuts in a bitchin' Corvette. Bill, how did Roy do?
3 right, 6 more points. Ooh. Total of 8 puts him in the lead.
All right. Okay, Nagin, you're up next.
All right.
On Wednesday, a new round of Trump's global blanks went into effect.
Tariffs.
Right. After decades of talks, Italy approved construction of what will become the world's longest blank, connecting Sicily to the mainland.
Bridge?
That's right. This week, a tourist in Thailand was arrested after he blanked during a taxi ride.
Fell in love. Oh.
Tried to pay the driver with a bag of weed. On Monday, it was announced that the streaming app Blank would be absorbed by Disney Plus.
Hulu?
Right. This week, search and rescue crews in Canada rushed to help a man they thought was screaming for help, but he was just blanking.
He was just doing laugh therapy.
Close. Singing. The search and rescue team included 2 Mounties and a drone and was expanded when people heard what they thought were cries of pain. So please, people, think of the first responders before you attempt Lady Gaga's part in Shallow. Bill, how did Nagin do?
4 right, 8 more points, total to 10 puts her in the lead.
Ooh. Oh. So how many does Brian need to win?
3 to tie, 4 to win.
All right, you ready, Brian?
Let's go.
Okay, fill in the blank. On Tuesday, the Gifford Fire in blank became the state's largest wildfire of the year.
California.
Right. On Tuesday, the House Oversight Committee issued almost a dozen subpoenas related to the blank files.
Epstein files.
Right. This week, Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israel intends to take full control of blank.
Gaza.
Right. This week, police in San Francisco seized over 100 canisters of nitrous oxide from people attending blank.
The Grateful Dead show.
Right. On Monday, an attorney confirmed that disgraced hip-hop mogul blank had reached out to the White House for a pardon.
The diddler, P. Diddy Combs.
That's right.
The diddler.
This week, a woman in Los Angeles was shocked when she went to the hospital for 45 minutes and was charged $8,000 for blank.
For visiting her grandma.
For parking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Apparently, the receipt claimed the woman first parked in the structure in 2022. Which was later explained as a computer glitch. Either way, after just a 45-minute visit to the hospital parking structure's automated machine charged her $7,829. And let this be a reminder for everyone, never park out of network. Bill, how did Brian do? Enough for the win?
Send back, because Brian got 5 right. 10 more points. Wow. He wins with 14.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Brian is this week's champion. In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict, after that zoo in Denmark, how will zoos get our attention next? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and BritBox, presenting Outrageous, a new BritBox original drama based on the scandalous true story of England's infamous Mitford sisters. Streaming this and more original series at BritBox.com. Indeed, committed to giving job listings increased visibility with relevant candidates through its sponsored jobs feature. Learn more at Indeed.com/NPR. And Progressive Insurance, where drivers can compare direct rates using Progressive's rate comparison tool. Customers can see options and rates side by side. More at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our public address announcer is Paul Friedman. Our tour manager is Shayna Donald. Thanks to the staff and crew at the Studebaker Theater. B.J. Letterman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Jennifer Mills, Miles Dornbos, and Lillian King. Special thanks to Mohamed El-Sheikhi and Monica Hickey. If you listen close, you can still hear Peter Gwynn howling at the wind. Emma Choi is our vibe curator. Technical direction, Lorna White. Our CFO is Colin Miller. Our production manager is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillag. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will zoos do to get our attention next? Brian Babylon.
They will have a Bring Your Ex to the Zoo Day. The more toxic, the more higher they are on the food chain.
Nagin Farsad.
They'll have a swap your kids with an animal day because parents also deserve a break.
Roy Blunt Jr.
They're doing joint promotions with Zumba. Zoo Zumba.
Well, if any of that happens right here, panel, we're going to ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Brian Babylon, Nagin Farsad, and Roy Blunt Jr. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Tom Papa, filling in for Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week.